Live on DAZN Worldwide, May 2nd and 3rd, Garcia versus Romero and Canelo versus Skull. Friday from 6 p.m. Eastern, Garcia returns in a history-making Times Square takeover. 24 hours later, Saturday from 7 p.m. Eastern, King Canelo faces undefeated Skull for the undisputed crown. May 2nd and 3rd, a knockout weekend of boxing. Pick one or go all in for only $90, exclusively on DAZN. Buy now at DAZN.com/boxing.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Okay, 3, 2, 1, hit it.
Chris Ronji, Amy Marks Kors, The Chris and Amy Show.
You know who it is.
Also, if you didn't know, this is called The Show.
Yeah. On 104.1 FM, KMOX.
Are we having a day?
Good morning. We're having a day.
Oh,
on the
man.
Chris and Amy Show.
Sorry, we got new microphones. I can't get over it. New microphones in the building.
Get over it. We got a show to do.
Let's do the show.
Buddy.
Amy Marks Kors, Chris Ronji. Good morning. 9 to 12. That's what we do when we have our show. We're on from 9 to noon every weekday. Also, don't forget the Gas House Gang. Will happen at 12 o'clock today. And you won't want to miss today because it's Tuesday.
Yes.
Ollie Marmol's with us. He is with us for the first half of the show. He takes our questions, mm-hmm. Bernie Miklas, Tom Ackerman, Chris Ronji, and he also takes questions from you as well. If you want to send a message with a text or, you know, when we're watching us on the stream, we'll tell you how to do it. But we start at 12. 314-436-7900, the phone number. That's the text number, too. You can also, on the Odyssey app, drop us a voice message. And we're going to want to hear from you today in particular. And we'll tell you why in just a moment. And as I mentioned, you can watch us on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter at Chris Amy KMOX.
Time now for the top of the order. The top three stories everyone will be talking about.
Today marks day 100 of Donald Trump's second term in office, and this is where we want to hear from you. I mean, you can always send us a message from the Odyssey app, but we would like to know mm-hmm. how you feel things are going on day 100.
314-436-7900.
Or the voice message.
You can text, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yes, or the voice message. And, woof, nightmare scenario yesterday. Spain and Portugal had countrywide blackouts yesterday. 8, 9, 10 hours halting. Subways, Wi-Fi, cell phones down. It is still a mystery, Ronj, as to why this happened.
It is also a mystery as to why the Cardinals keep losing on the road. It happened again last night. They are now 2-12. Away from Busch Stadium. So we'll talk to you tomorrow. Share at 10:30. Cover sports for KMOV. There's some weather coming in.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, the sun is peeking out, but there are clouds behind it. I see them. I see all the clouds. But we are supposed to maybe get another round of the storms like we had overnight, which, by the way, were prolific. I don't want to say it was the most prolific lightning storm I've mm-hmm. ever heard, like thunder storm mm-hmm. I've ever heard. But it has to be top three. It was
loud.
Constant.
Yeah.
It was every few seconds. It was loud. That was really something, and it woke me up, and I couldn't go back to bed. So
from
2:30 to 3:30 or whatever it was.
It was pretty loud, and I did get up. I was up early this morning to run, and what's funny is we were dry for the first few miles, and then right before it absolutely downpoured, the lightning came back. I didn't hear any thunder, but you know when the whole sky just looks like a bright old-timey camera flash?
Yep.
Yeah, it did that. And then, of course, we were absolutely drenched in poured in Forest Park for a bit this morning, but really just in bursts.
Bursts. So I don't know what's going to happen later on today. And Heather Zehr, AccuWeather meteorologist, will join us at 9:30 to give us an update on that. Dave Simons, who is the partner and managing director of One Private Health, also Dollars and Cents on KMOX. We're going to talk about, the first 100 days in retrospect, what's happened with the economy, how it's going to affect you moving forward. Dave Simons joins us at 10. Like I said, Tamar Scher at 10:30. And Annie Fry from The Annie Fry Show was at the White House yesterday and today. So we're going to we're gonna check in with Annie from Washington, D.C. That'll be at 11:30.
And I think we need to figure out, because going into this trip, she wasn't sure. I think she might have had an opportunity to ask the president a question, or at least the White House press secretary. So it was kind of up in the air of what opportunity she would have. But, I mean, pretty up close and personal being part of the White House press pool there. So yeah, it'll be interesting to talk to her. Ranj, as you mentioned just a couple of minutes ago, we do want to hear from you about the Trump administration's first 100 days. What are your thoughts? Say, get it off your chest. Whatever's on your mind, you can call or text 314-436-7900. We'd love to get your text. You can also leave us a voice message, which is super easy on the Odyssey app. And I do want to bring up, man, Spain and Portugal yesterday, Ranj, within 5 seconds, just like that, they lost power. Two countries, the entire Iberian Peninsula, cut off from power. They said it quite literally stranded people in elevators, on subways, traffic lights went out, cell phone service went down, Wi-Fi went down. That is dystopian, nightmare, apocalyptic material there. There's a movie called Leave the World Behind. Is that what it is? Leave the World Behind with Julia Roberts.
Ethan Hawke.
Which is basically that happens. They go on a weekend vacation and the power goes out, I guess, around the world. But and what happens, how you're cut off. This is why I don't, the more we get online, the more we're all on the grid. Even self-driving cars, because this happened in the movie that planes crashed and self-driving cars were hitting people and crashing. We probably need to diversify a little bit. I feel like diversification is good.
Well, it's certainly scary. I don't know that we're ever going to fully avoid a complete. We'll probably have semi-automation. There's always going to be a form of it. I don't know that in our lifetimes, it's ever going to be completely automated. Everything.
And how
will
do
be.
We diversify and, the grid even more?
I don't
than
even
it
know
is
how you
now.
Do it. And by the way, they don't believe this is a cyber attack. At least that's what they're saying right now. So they are trying to get to the bottom of it. How can a thing like that happen? But if it is, you know, nearly nationwide, where or citywide, even where everybody's power has gone out and people are stuck in elevators and whatnot, that's the kind of thing that you have to figure out. You got to figure out why it happened, and you have to make sure it never happens again. So, and we have to hope that it never happens here. I mean, we have blackouts every now and then. This one seems particularly bad, and I don't know why it is. Maybe it's not, but it really does seem like it's a lot worse.
Two countries, yeah. You know, tens of millions of people all at once. People. I mean,
they had the blackouts in Texas, but that was because of a weather event happened.
And people, there are videos of people like climbing out of subway stations with their phone flashlights. ATMs were shut down. Think of everything that you do in order to communicate, in order to live, travel, eat, whatever it is. It was all shut down. And for 8, 9, 10 hours, that's a long time to be in a state of uncertainty and the inability to function as a society. I mentioned that horror dystopian movie Leave the World Behind. Well, Charlie Brennan and I a couple of years ago talked to Nicole Perlroth. She is a New York Times technology editor. She wrote a book called This Is How They Tell Me the World Ends. It's all about cyber warfare and zero day and how really we have the ability to knock our geopolitical adversaries offline. They have the ability to hack into our systems and knock us offline. All of our information's out there. She had to get therapy after writing the book because she became so paranoid, not only about her identity already being out there, but the fact that, what if Russia decided to take out our power grid? What do we do? We're paralyzed as a nation.
Well, this is why you have to have good relationships with countries and even good trade relationships with countries, because if they rely on you and you rely on them, you're going to have these little espionage events that happen along the way, because there's always going to be that adversarial relationship. But if the overall relationship is necessary for both sides, like you need each other, it's less likely they'll try something like that, right? So you need to have good relationships with a lot of these countries. I hope we never get to that sort of point. I'm thinking about these people stuck in elevators. And do you know how often I get on an elevator and I think, you know, I probably should go to the bathroom before I go on this elevator, just in case. Just in case I'm on that 1 in 5 billion chance that the elevator stalls and I'm there for several hours and I haven't gone potty, I'm in trouble.
Well, you got to pick a corner of the elevator.
Yeah, well,
that's the first thing you do.
That's just, how do you do that? How do you do it?
My mom got stuck on an elevator. It was...
What if other people are on it? That's what I'm saying.
Well, no, I know. That's why you have to designate a popular corner.
Do you think that's going to matter in that little space?
It's not going to matter. It's going to be a disaster. Well, my mom, years ago, they were on an elevator and they did what you shouldn't do. And it wasn't my mom's idea. I'm not blaming her. But like, people crammed on to an old elevator in an old building.
Oh, no.
And the elevator got stuck for like an hour. And she doesn't take elevators now. She's like, no, I'll take the stairs, or I will avoid high rises. It's easy to avoid high rises in St. Louis. It really
there
is.
There aren't a ton.
You can live a pretty full life in St. Louis while avoiding a high rise.
Yeah.
New York, Chicago would be difficult, but you don't have to go up in a high rise in the city of St. Louis and live a full life.
No, yeah, you can totally live a full life. But if you do, I highly recommend going to the bathroom first.
Yes.
Make sure you're good. Okay.
Do you know, though, you're not going to plummet. You know, there's a governor. That's what it's called in the elevator system. It makes it impossible.
It's a break.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So I'm not worried about that. But I am also worried about it was like an apartment building, I want to say, in New York.
Mm-hmm.
There's a pretty awful video of a guy getting off the elevator in the lobby, I want to say, of his building. It was a residential building.
Sure.
And as he's stepping off, the elevator with the doors open decides to just go down, like it went down a floor as if it had been called to the next floor. And I think it crushed him. But so when I think about that, when I get off elevators, I get off quickly. I don't meander off elevators either, just because I saw that one thing happen.
I think you should get off the elevator with the same mentality as driving across train tracks. Don't dilly dally. That is not a place to dilly dally.
What is with these people who accidentally go over the train tracks, the train's coming, and they decide, oh, I better back up. And then they try to back up, and the gate's down, and they just
understand.
Sit there.
Yeah.
Drive forward.
That's right.
What are you doing?
Yeah. So anyway, we will have any more information about what happened in Spain and Portugal. But in all seriousness, this is one of those things, when I think of the grid, when I think of cyber warfare, when I think of how perilous, how tenuous our existence is as a society, how dependent we are on everything electric and electronic, I could have a panic attack. I have to not think about it. It's too big.
Don't think about it.
Yeah.
Don't think about it.
It's too much.
Do think about this. How do you feel about the president's first 100 days in office? This is term number 2 for him. And you're welcome to send us a message via the Odyssey app. Tap that button that says send a message, and you can record it and pass it over to us. Also, you can text us at 314-436-7900. And if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter, you can leave a comment there as well. It's the Chris and Amy Show on 104.1 FM KMOX.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide. Or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball, the game's official home for games, is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Zoe. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning. Because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Well, the talk of the NHL has been Connor Hellebuyck and the implosion of the NHL's best goaltender. We've been talking about it in St. Louis. Somehow, the St. Louis Blues have gotten in his head. And to put it in perspective, Ronch, over the last three seasons, Connor Hellebuyck has the best regular season save percentage, .922, over the past three seasons. Over the last three seasons in the playoffs, he has the worst save percentage of .863. And it's starting to, I think, become a career-defining moment where if Connor Hellebuyck is blown up, gets pulled again in Winnipeg, this could be how he is characterized as a goalie that chokes. And like I said, this is not just a St. Louis talking point. As I mentioned yesterday, talked to the guys in Winnipeg, the Winnipeg Press, and they said, oh, the city is freaking out. And what's funny, Ronj, is they're also called the River City and the Gateway to the West.
Yeah.
So they kept talking about the Gateway to the West and the River City freaking out over Connor Hellebuyck, meaning Winnipeg. Connor Hellebuyck finally did talk to the media about his performance in the last two games.
Well, you don't love giving up that many goals, but we're 2-2 in the series. You know, that's all that matters, like winning the next one. Am I going to be better? I am going to be better. I've studied goaltending extremely hard. I've probably studied the most out of anyone in this world. So I know what to do and how to get my best game. So that's what I'm looking forward to do. And, you know, I got to get 2 days here and, you know, time to bring it on game five.
So that was Connor Hellebuyck. I have to say, it kind of sounded like he was giving himself a pep talk. I know the words he was saying were technically confident, but it felt like he was trying to convince himself that, no, I can, you know, I've worked hard. I can do this. I am good. I am beautiful.
See, that's
people
interesting.
People like me.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm getting that from him. Maybe he is deep down feeling that way. There has to be some part of you, even if you are the best in the world at what mm-hmm. you do. I mean, right now he's the best in the world at his particular, very specific job, right? Nobody was better than him in the regular season. He's had four games in the playoffs mm-hmm. and two of them have not gone well. That does not define his entire career. He's still...
But it's
the
past
2 years,
too. That's what I'm saying. That's why Winnipeg is freaking out. He blew up against Colorado, and before that, he blew up against, what was it, Dallas? I can't remember.
Right, but he's still the best in the world at this job. Even with that, as a human, mm-hmm. you would think that at least some part of you deep down somewhere can't help but think about why it's bad like this in the biggest moments. Mm-hmm. But maybe not, though. Maybe he just thought, hey, this is two games in a row, whatever, it happened last year, fine, but that doesn't mean that I'm now toast. Like, I don't really know what he's thinking, but that clip to me did not sound unconfident.
And here's the reason why it sounded unconfident to me. Having interviewed a lot of goalies, they're generally, they're of all the players, they're the most guarded, I think. Where a normal goalie interview would be, yeah, obviously you don't like to give up that many goals, but I'm going to be better. I have to be. That's it. That's the interview. Not, I've studied really hard. I've been working really hard. Like, he gave too many details. And that's unusual for Connor Hellebuyck. It's unusual for goalies in general. It just is.
Unless he is a little frustrated with the hell he's probably getting from local press, local fan base, and, you know, completely forgetting the body of work that he's had up until this point. They're probably giving him a lot of hell right now. You know, I mean, whether it's social media or, you know, just the question. He's I took it as, hey, I do know what I'm doing here, guys. Like, I know you're questioning me, but I am pretty good at this.
Yeah, it's weird. I felt a little bit more than that. Just, ugh. But he also remember, I'm sure a lot of people remember this, but Connor Hellebuyck went up against Jordan Binnington in the Four Nations Cup.
Yeah.
Jordan Binnington was the victorious goalie there.
Do I look nervous?
Yeah. Right. And Jordan Binnington's the kind of guy that he can have a great regular season, but man, is that guy nails in the playoffs. And that is a sports thing. How good are you in the big moments? And we don't know right now with Connor Hellebuyck. I was talking to a guy from The Athletic in Winnipeg. And I said, is Connor Hellebuyck, I haven't watched a lot of the Jets' regular season games, but is he bad at playing the puck behind the net? Because he gave up.
Yeah, they said it wasn't his strong suit.
It's not a strong suit, but what's interesting is the guy said, he goes, honestly, during the regular season, he's pretty good, but every playoffs, he gives up a goal or two playing the puck behind the net. So the Winnipeg fans are a little jumpy when he goes behind the net because he did that against Colorado last year. So it's interesting that, again, the beat writer, the guy that follows him day in and day out, said in the regular season, he's pretty good at it. But in the postseason, it's not his strong suit.
That makes me think that I might even be closer to the truth on that because he's probably just getting really defensive with people, which also is not a good sign.
No.
I mean, because the best thing to do if you're that guy is go, I'm good, guys. Let's shut it down and move on. Although, you know, you can't really dictate what the press asks
you. The worst thing you could do is what Samson Nakua did and, like, slap a guy across the face.
Well, he hasn't done that.
No, he hasn't.
And because he hasn't done that, he still gets to play. Well, are we really jamming out? Do people still say jam out? Or is that an old thing?
I don't think so.
Here's a texter. It says, we shouldn't count our Connors before they're hatched. We have yet to win a game in Winnipeg. He is a professional.
Great point. It's 2-2. It's not like the Blues are ahead. It just feels that way.
If the Jets win tomorrow,
don't say
I'm not
it.
Feeling good.
Okay, if the Jets...
This is not a must win, though.
No, it's not. Thank you.
Well, it's a half must win.
No, it's a you really should. You need
you
to
probably
do this.
Better win
you
this
probably
game.
That's what we're going with.
Okay. You probably better
and
win this one.
That's what the last two games were, too.
No,
win
the
this
last.
Game.
The game three was a must win. No question about it.
Not true.
Amy Marks Kors and Chris Ranji on 104.1 FM KMOX. We will get a weather update from Heather Zare, AccuWeather meteorologist. She will tell us what we're in store for next. Matt Pajeski is
100 years old.
Name a better rain song.
Blame It on the Rain.
Blame It on the Rain is
Milli
better.
Vanilli.
No. It doesn't matter if they lip synced live.
That makes a huge difference.
Or on the album or whatever
what
they did wrong.
Purple Rain by Prince.
Purple Rain is infinitely better than this.
No such thing as Purple Rain.
Okay.
I know Heather Zare is probably upset right now that Matt picked the worst rain song as we welcome in the AccuWeather meteorologist. Heather, thank you for joining us. We apologize. Do you have a favorite rain song?
Oh, gosh. You know, well, I'm going back to my 70s childhood roots, but the whole rainy days and Mondays always get me down. Back to the Carpenters.
The Carpenters. Whoa.
Yeah. See, oh, that goodness. Goes way back as well. That's almost as old as Raindrops Keep Falling on My Head.
My mom used to make me listen to the Carpenters' Christmas album.
That was such a good album.
God.
I still listen to that.
Oh, my Lord. All right. So overnight, I'm declaring it the most prolific lightning / thunderstorm I've ever heard because it was constant. It was every 2 seconds and it was loud. It probably wasn't as bad as I've ever experienced, but it felt that way. So are we in for more of that later, or what exactly is going to happen?
Well, we're keeping our eyes right now on an area of precipitation where the leading edge is right around Springfield, extending up toward Kansas City right now. That's all creeping slowly eastward. Now, our current thinking is that the front that caused the precipitation that was working on keeping you up last night is going to be just south of St. Louis, and so should hopefully keep us dry. Those southern suburbs are likely to pick up a little bit of rainfall and probably some thunder once again as well. So there is a chance still for a shower or thunderstorm to be around, but I think that the more widespread rainfall and thunder is going to be south of St. Louis itself.
When we were looking at the weather yesterday, you kind of mentioned this, that there could be a chance of thunderstorms or more severe weather. Is the chance of very severe weather, like tornadic activity, is that lower now? A little bit less than we thought it would be?
It is indeed lower. I think the storms that came through overnight were really our biggest risk. And now going forward today, the severe risk is likely farther to the south. So not bad news there on that front. It does look like the greatest risk is going to be, say, over southeastern Missouri. And then it actually gets even higher as you go up the Ohio River from like southern Indiana and northern Kentucky on up into western Pennsylvania and even all the way up into western New York. They actually have a higher chance for severe weather than we do today.
We're supposed to get it through tomorrow, though, right? At least some precipitation, or at least that's a possibility?
Yes. Still chances for rainfall, not just today and into tonight. I think once we get into late tonight, our chances start to go up again, and we're going to have just showers and thunderstorms. It'll be around all the way through the day tomorrow and even through the day on Thursday before we're finally at least starting to pare that back a little bit for Friday. Spottier shower thunderstorm chances, not totally dry yet, but at least we're trending in that direction. Finally then, just in time for the weekend for a change, it does look like we should dry out on Saturday.
In terms of flooding, anything like that we need to worry about?
I don't think that's going to be a big issue. There will probably be temporary ponding of water on roadways when some downpours come through. That's not going to be the widespread flooding, rises on streams and creeks, though. It looks like we're going to get this in pieces, which will kind of help to keep that threat down.
So what is the system that is sitting over us now if we're going to have thunderstorms potentially for the next few days, but it doesn't look like we're seeing wide temperature swings?
No, we really aren't. We kind of just get this front that has moved into the area, stalled out just to the south of us, kind of sitting over southern Missouri for tonight and into tomorrow, and then kind of working its way northward again. But all in all, it's pretty close to us the next several days. And so because we're so close to that boundary, we just kind of hover in those middle 70s the next few days. And then eventually we'll get drier and cooler air in, and that's why we're dropping temperatures and getting back into the 60s for Saturday.
What's the expectation as far as, you know, how our strong weather, tornado / bad weather season is going to be?
Well, we're still keeping our eyes on the likelihood that we're going to get some additional cold shots of air down out of Canada that are going to fight with this warm, humid air that's been rapidly building off to the south. So I think we're still going to have to worry about more severe weather coming up here as we head into the month of May.
What is the time period in the spring that has the most volatile weather and you consider the highest risk for tornadoes?
I would say for us, it's kind of late March into early April. I think we're kind of past the worst of it because we start getting to the point now where the warm and humid air takes over more. So then you start getting more in the way of threats for, the localized thunderstorm pop-ups, things like that. You still do get these intrusions of cooler, drier air that can fight with that warm, humid air and so still give you some rounds of severe weather. But chances really do tend to drop off as we get into May especially.
Okay, so how long before we get to the St. Louis disgusting, gross, hot season? Because it's gross and hot here when it does get gross and hot.
You're right. Once it kind of gets there, it's really tough to clear it out. I have not talked to Joe Lundberg about that. He is our long-range expert.
Gross weather expert?
The gross weather expert.
I didn't love know that.
I'm going to use that now.
Okay.
But it does look like by the time we get to, say, mid to late May, we might be kind of really getting into those summer sticky-type patterns.
Yuck.
There you go. Well, see,
yuck.
It's good to sweat, though, Heather. That's what I say. Like, you know, it's
right,
it's good for you.
Cleans out those pores, right?
That's right.
Okay.
It's clarifying. It's good for you. So
all right.
Pull it together, Ronj.
Thanks.
That is Heather Zehr, AccuWeather meteorologist. Thank you so much, Heather. We appreciate it.
Hey, you're very welcome.
All righty.
I'm just not looking forward to it. I really...
That's the Chicagoan in you.
No, it's just... I don't like it. Once I became a real adult... And I finally understood humidity, you know, and you know, you wear regular clothes when you leave the house and then you realize you need to shower later. I that's when I found out this is not good.
Nope.
I don't know why people like
it. You did not become a real adult when you discovered humidity.
That's what it was.
You became a real adult when you discovered the dew point.
See,
that's what matters. That's when I really grew up and I became an adult. I'm like, well, it's not the humidity.
Other than you,
it's the dew point.
Other than you, I'm the only one of my friends that ever brings up dew point. They don't know anything about it.
Humidity is nothing compared to dew point.
Yes.
Humidity is the French fry and dew point is the Big Mac hamburger. It's the main meal.
The dew point.
Huh.
Just so people know, if it's under 60, it's pretty comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Once you start to get closer to 70, it gets uncomfortable. Over 70, it is disgusting.
I'll give you one guess as to why I care so much about dew point.
It's got something to do with running.
Mm-hmm. It is a proven fact that once you hit dew point of 70, they set, like a lot of coaches will say, you have to drastically alter the workout because you're not going to be able to do it.
Yeah.
Because it's the dew point, not the humidity. It's just you can't breathe. It's like a sponge.
It's disgusting.
But it does feel good to sweat.
Yeah, but not if you're clothed. You know, not
How
if you just showered and you left the house.
Not clothed.
Don't worry about that.
Is it when you run out of underpants?
Oh, man. That was an emergency.
Can you imagine if it had been humid?
Imagine if I had been on the elevator, too.
Oh,
stuck on the elevator.
With dirty, humid underpants.
Oh, God. And the heat, like, was on. Like how we were here in the studio a couple of weeks ago and the heat was stuck on for some reason.
I'll tell you what. I really do. I have to not think about the outages in Portugal and Spain. Because that's a real... That will give me a grabber.
I know it will. That's not one of your favorite things.
No. I don't like, I mean, everything, you can't get your money out of a bank, you can't communicate with people, there's no Wi-Fi, there's no cell phone service, you can't, intersections, cars are just running into each other, you're trapped in a subway elevator. I mean, it is true horror film material.
You can watch us on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter, and Robert is watching on YouTube and says the term dew point is as gross as the word moist.
Not true.
I don't agree with that.
And you know what? I'm not as creeped out by the word moist. And I think it's because I made a lot of cake in my day.
That's probably it.
And you know, that's like on the front of like Duncan Hines or Ghirardelli, like moist chocolate cake.
It is the best compliment. It's the best adjective you can give cake. Moist.
Moist. Yeah. Do you know what word I don't like? My word like that is urinal.
That grosses you out?
Mm-hmm. I think it's because a urinal is gross. And also like urinal... It's a gross word. To me, urinal is a gross word. But like, yeah, moist is mainly it's cake.
How do you feel about
every cake?
Well, how do you feel about urinal cake?
Don't.
Does that gross you out?
Yes.
Okay.
Do you know the show Frasier?
Yes, I know the show Frasier.
Okay, with Kelsey Grammer. And David Hyde Pierce, his character was Niles. And Niles was married to Maris, who was a very, very wealthy woman, incredibly pretentious and snobbish. And you go through however many seasons they had, 14 seasons, not knowing how she got her money because she was so pretentious, almost as if there were royalty. And he never knew how she got her money. And at the very end, maybe one of the last episodes, if not the last episode, you find out that her family invented the urinal cake. And that's how they got their money.
That's Amy Mark's course. I'm Chris Ranji. It is this texter, or not a, yeah, it's a texter, actually. 314-436-7900 says his wife hates the word booger.
Okay. It is kind of, Ranj would always, even when we were friends, before we were radio friends, he would go, what's the matter, you got a boog? He would always call it a boog.
Oh, you got a little boog up there? I did that?
Yes! That's where I first heard boog. Because now I say it. I'm like, what's the matter, you got a little boog?
I know a lady who named her cat Booger. I didn't like that.
Booger McFarland.
Oh, yeah. Booger McFarland, the football, football player. Retired. That's Amy Mark's course. I'm Chris Ranji. Did you see this next on KMOX 104.1 FM?
No! The Chris and Amy Show on 104.1 FM, KMOX. Now, did you see this with Chris and Amy?
Amy, remember how we talked about the very strange Bill Belichick interview from CBS Sunday Morning?
Like, blink twice if you're a hostage.
So the former Patriots coach and now the coach at North Carolina College, University of North Carolina, he has a girlfriend who's much, much younger than he is. She's 24. And at one point during the interview on Sunday, we played the clip for you where the interviewer, from CBS, asked about how they met. Pretty innocuous question. And then she said, we're not talking about that.
Yeah.
Which is very, very strange. Anyway, TMZ followed up on that interview, and their reporting is that multiple times during the interview, she, Jordan Hudson, the girlfriend, interrupted the interview and at one point stormed out of it and tried to get Bill Belichick to leave with her. Though it is unclear, according to TMZ, whether or not he actually did get up. But it did stop the interview for about a half hour. They came back, and Dokapil had to wrap up the interview quickly and get done. And also, the reporting is that the producers had to really scramble to salvage anything from the interview to make it watchable.
Not talking about this.
That's insane.
Talking about how you met?
Which is kind of the story. The whole thing about them was that their relationship started with a meet cute. That's the point of their relationship. She was on the plane. And, she had a term paper. I don't know. And he said, hey, have you...
I think they were talking football plays or something.
Weird.
I don't know.
So that's why, one, it's not a mystery how they met. I thought everybody knew it.
Yeah.
Why is she suddenly not talking about it? And you brought this up yesterday, that CBS included the one interruption because she interrupted so many times.
Yep.
They thought we should probably include one of these. I didn't know she stormed out. And you also brought up a point that I can't stop thinking about, which is that Bill Belichick is notoriously in charge. He controls the situation. He decides what he's going to say, what he's not going to say. You know, he was cantankerous and the man on the no pun intended, the big man on campus. I forgot that he doesn't have mental decline. I forgot he was still the coach of UNC because I, honest to goodness, thought, does he have dementia?
Is this a conservatorship or something?
Yes.
It's the whole thing is very strange. And also the reporting is that he showed up only with her.
Yep.
So he's got a new book coming out. So the publicist, his publisher, nobody else came. It was just her. And she is in on all the business emails and has asked to be. So it's like she's running his life now.
It's really weird. And she's
like he's grandpa and he can't get around and he needs her help.
She's on the field. Every practice, every play, she's on the field. And it's
hard. She's like Yoko.
It is. And it's hard to describe how weird that is. Imagine the Blues and there was one wife who just sat in the locker room. You would say, lady, you need to give them their space. In the same way that if I was on, my women's team and a boyfriend came in and sat in the locker room, I'd be like, get out of here. This is not your place. This is not the time.
Is that worse than about 8-9 years ago when Adam LaRoche had his kid in the locker room?
That's also really bad.
In the clubhouse.
But I will say, I don't know
all the time.
If there's like a psychiatrist, there's got to be some kind of therapist or psychiatrist watching this thinking something weird
Something's
is
off.
Happening.
Yeah.
Is she, did you see that movie Love and Mercy about the the Beach Boys' Brian Wilson?
No.
And how basically he and his doctor got really in with him, like a narcissist controlling narcissist, and then started controlling his life and medicating him? That's what I feel like she's doing.
Something's
like
off.
Like, she has somehow gotten in and is controlling him. Anyway, very bizarre. I will say this.
Tom needs to check in on him, see if he's okay.
Somebody needs to check in on him. And I've never felt sorry for Bill Belichick, but he looks helpless. Okay. A TikTok creator, Janelle Rohner, is very popular. Lots of followers. She's a nurse who launched her account in 2020, showing healthier versions of foods. Like, she made a low-carb sandwich where instead of bread, she used bell pepper halves. Okay. It's probably good. It's not bread, but it's probably good. And talked about how you just need to make better choices. And she kept losing weight. And she said, for $200, I'll give you the plan of what I'm doing. I'm eating more calories than ever, and I'm losing weight. And people said, yeah, you keep losing weight. Guess what? She is taking a GLP-1 medicine for weight loss and wasn't telling people. She finally came out and said, yes, you know, my doctor and I decided it would be best, which is fine. Except for the fact that you are presenting to people that you lost that weight by your little cute recipes and your exercise, which, don't get me wrong, those are good things. But now selling your diet for $200 when you're on the side taking like an Ozempic.
That seems to be a...
fraudulent.
Yeah, like doesn't there have to be some grounds for people to want to sue her over that?
Well, a lot of people are saying you need to give everyone their money back from the time you started taking that medicine. Because she did start in 2020, really was dieting and exercising and losing weight. So I'm not taking that away from her. But once she started secretly taking her GLP-1 medication, from that moment on, people should get their money back.
Did you see that? And I think by now you probably did. I know the news has talked about it on our station. But Amazon is going to start posting how much of the price on the thing you buy is because of the tariffs. And it will list the tariff right next to the price so that you can see it. They also say that, the White House is not upset or not happy with this.
We need to talk about this more.
We really should.
Let's bookmark this.
That's a very big deal. Oh, by the way, also UPS says they're going to cut 20,000 jobs. They announced that today. That's not good. Amy Marks Kors, Chris Ranji. When we come back, we're going to talk to the partner and managing director at One Private Wealth, and we'll get we'll look back on the first 100 days of the Trump presidency and what has happened with the economy and what's to come and what it means for you. That's next on 104.1 FM KMOX.